All right. Father, we thank you for this beautiful night tonight. Lord, I thank you that there's not going to be any slick roads tomorrow morning, that everybody will be able to get to where they want to go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be with us. You're going to guide us, lead us, and show us what you want us to do, Lord. Father, I just thank you for being the God that not only leads us and guides us, but lives in us. I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in this group of people in Jesus' name. Praise you for your power, your love, your grace, and your mercy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Leon. There's iPad Judy and Gaynold. And boy, y'all getting a crowd over in there, aren't you?
And Gayno even walked over here in the snow. Bless her heart.
Okay.
Judy, what is that? 50 feet away? Yes.
What's that?
Gayno from Judy's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not very far. The compound. No, the something circle. Family circle. Family circle. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Lord, I thank you that this snow is going to end within the next 10 minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, actually, it's not a snow. It's kind of a combination of snow and sleet. Funky looking stuff. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, George.
I'd like to lift up some of my coworkers. They've taken offense with me and don't want to receive any leadership from me, but they put it in the ditch if I don't give them leadership. So I'm in a spot where I just need the Lord to soften their hearts. And more than anything, I suppose I need my ways to please God so that some of these enemies would be at peace with me. I don't know what else to say, but just that the Holy Spirit ministered to their hearts. And Father, I thank you that from the foundation of the earth, you knew that I would be amongst these people and that you're offering grace through me. You're showing love that I'm not offended. I'm long-suffering towards them. I'm patient with them. I'm kind. And where I'm not kind, Lord, forgive me and help me to ask them for forgiveness. Father, I thank you for the test. I thank you for the testimony. I thank you for the trial. I thank you for the Judases. I thank you for the cross. And Father, work in me to get the glory. And don't let them go to hell, Father. Help all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Lord. We hook our faith up for Jordan. We believe it, Lord. We believe it so, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for favor with all of his employees. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Can I just add on to your prayer a little bit there for George?
Sure.
Let me just lift the situation up to you. And we bind up the spirits of rebellion and witchcraft and faction. There, we bind those up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus and cast them down under our feet, and that they are not going to be there. And Lord, we retain from the throne of grace. Father, these are just unsaved people acting like unsaved people. And we've all been there. And Lord, we pray for an outpouring of grace upon them in a spirit of repentance and faith to believe, and that they're going to see the love of Christ in our brother George. I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of their understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit, and grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ. Prepare their hearts to receive, and preserve them unto the day of salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Lord, give us all the strength to go through these trials. And Father, we thank you that these prayers will be answered. All the prayers that we have prayed for each other will be answered in a way that would give you the glory, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. You said we'd go through trials and tribulations here. And we thank you, Father, because it does. It matures us. It brings us into that realm of humbleness and humility. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Hey, Gaynell, if you'll put your hand over your mouth. Judy, put yours over your ears. And then Sue, you put yours over. I just couldn't resist it, girls. Y'all look so good. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi, everybody. I have a prayer request. Tomorrow, when I go back to work, I have a holiday luncheon thing, Christmas party luncheon tomorrow, and they'd always do a really nice lunch for us and everything, but then they have like this gift exchange, like a white elephant gift exchange where you bring in a gift and people can, you know, if you keep the gift, great. If somebody wants to steal it from you, they can steal it from you, that kind of thing. But I haven't participated in that part of the luncheon because I can't do it. But I just would like prayer that, and not just for me, I guess for all of us, because we're in the Christmas season, the holiday season, and just how to be kind, meek, gentle, understanding, weak to the weak, and not let myself run at the mouth or get myself in trouble or offend anybody. You know, it's not a mandatory thing that I have to participate in the gift thing, but you know, just to be there just to be there with them. You know, these are people I work with, and I don't have anything against them. I was caught up in that holiday thing too with the Christmas stuff, but. If you would just agree with me in prayer, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the for the love of Christ is in each and every one of us. And I thank you, Lord, that during this time of year where there's a lot of celebration of the holidays and Christmas and things that we used to be in ourselves, Lord, that you would give us all the grace to be weak to the weak, to be wise, to not speak anything that would dishonor you in any way. And that you would just give us all mouths to speak, a heart of compassion and long-suffering and patience and kindness and gentleness with all of them, Lord, and that we would just honor you with our lives and our witness, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, let her be a light at that party. Let them see something different about Julie that they want to have. Thank you, Father. All right.
Amen. I receive that. In place of being the life of the party, I'll be the light of the party.
There you go. Amen. Be the beacon, yeah.
Amen.
Be the beacon. Amen. We got a little special effects here. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, I'd like to have prayer. I'm going to go to Indiana a week from today, and I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. Julie, I don't want to say, I don't want anything to come out of my mouth that shouldn't be coming out, and just speak as an oracle of God and let people see Christ in me and let it shine out.
Amen. So,
would you pray for me, Michael?
Sure. Okay. Father, we lift up Judy to you. And Lord, just like we prayed for Julie, that soon as she gets in the car, that you're with her, well, you're with her all the time, but I mean special, that you're with her and you'll direct her, you'll watch her tongue, you put a watch on her tongue to say only those things that are edifying to you, Lord. And Father, we praise you that she will be a light amongst her family and friends. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in Judy's family because of what she's been doing with you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that when she walks in that room, they're going to see a difference. And they're going to see a light on her. That glow that the Holy Spirit gives us when we walk in a dark place. And Father, I praise you for it in Jesus' name. They're going to wonder. They're going to start asking her questions. Questions that she never thought they'd ask before. And Lord, I thank you that she'll have an answer for every one of them in Jesus' name because your Holy Spirit resides in her. And not only that, it'll bring to her mind the things that she needs to quote out of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? Wonder where Dave is. I bet he's working late.
Dave's probably in the Christmas rush.
Well, he could be. He could be.
Hey, I don't have a prayer request, but I do have a testimony.
Okay.
You know, I lost a toenail a couple of days back, about a week ago, I guess. It's my big toe, but anyway, not yesterday, but the day before, my hip started hurting, and I'd never had my hip hurting before, but, so I thought it might be related to my toenail coming off or something, but anyway, we had the Monday night meeting last night, and Michael prayed for me. And my hip's all fine right now.
Praise the Lord.
Better. Praise God. That is a good thing. And we had Julie and Missy here for a week, and what a blessing that was. A couple of great girls. That was a blessing.
Yeah, amen. That's the same paper we gave you, Leon. Thank you, brother. Okay. That was written down and
I read it like a true disciple.
Just like it came from your heart, brother. Amen. No, we did. We enjoyed the trip. We enjoyed it. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the way. Yeah, where was I going with that? Well, no, they were a blessing to everybody, and I got my hair cut. Got to see Julie again. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. You know, I know that, well, I'll just say this. They were a good blessing to the whole fellowship. We enjoyed their stay. And look forward to the next time, too. About a month, Missy. Amen. All right, and I don't want you here just because you cut my hair. That's just an added benefit. All right, anybody else?
Amen. I will attest to that too. I had to go all the way to Tennessee to get a decent haircut. Missy trimmed up my hair too. She did a beautiful job. She evened it out, and look, I got little curls today because of it.
Amen. Looked like Shirley Temple.
No, I don't look like Shirley. Not quite like Shirley.
Oh, my.
I do have something to add. So my trip, I really was blessed, and I truly was blessed. I was blessed beyond my wildest dreams, and Michael's too. And I had a really good time, and it went by really fast, and I really enjoyed meeting everybody I hadn't met before, and seeing the people that I had met before. We're all at different places, and I just felt the love of Jesus everywhere I went. I really did. It was really good. I want to come back, and I just sense that the Lord's telling me I will be coming back for a visit. So get prayed up again. You got plenty of time to get prayed up, and fair warning, I want to come back down there. I don't know when though. But on my return, when I left yesterday, it was good flights, good weather and all that. Couple testimonies is my connection flight was supposed to be about two hours and 20 minutes, something like that. It was closer to about 3 hours because we had a delay getting out of there. And I'm thinking, I already contacted my ride and told them what time my flight was, and I was on time. And then there was a little activity at the airport. I don't know what happened, but all the alarms started going off, and they shut the doors that were any flights that were boarding. They stopped the boarding process and they shut the doors, and we had to get clearance to start boarding again. So I don't know what happened, but that all got cleared up. So anyhow, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a little late. So I contacted my ride to send them a text. It's like, it's probably going to be another about 15 minutes or so. And anyhow, we end up being at least 30 minutes late getting off the ground. So I was just believing for a good tailwind up there going from east to west to get me through all that. And they warned us that we're going to come into some turbulence and up there, and that, you know, they always say, you know, get seated and stay in your seats and that, because it could be, we don't always see when it's going to happen or when or how. So I'm just saying, well, I'm not receiving that turbulence. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that you just break up that turbulence. We either go above it or below it, or it's just split right down the middle, and we're just going right through it. So anyhow, the turbulence wasn't too bad. There was some bumps, but nothing really bad. So it was, you know, it was very, very minor, and it was very short. Anyhow, so we end up leaving later than I thought, and my ride, didn't know how late, and I'm like, well, God, I'm just going to put Johnny in your hands, and you're just going to have to delay him or whatever it is, so he's not, you know, wandering around waiting for me and wondering where I'm at. I can't connect to him when I'm up there in the plane. So I just was trying to rest in that, and then when I get down to where we're flying in over the city, and you can get cell tower. You can connect to the internet and all that stuff. You can get messages and all that stuff. So I just kind of turned my airplane mode off so that I could get the internet. And as soon as I did that, I saw that I'd gotten like 3 text messages from Johnny saying, it's like, I'm running late, blah, blah, blah. I'll be there as soon as I can. And please wait for me, all that. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? He had to work. He had to work late. And he's got a temporary position at UPS. So they're real busy right now. And he's working with the driver. So the truck was full of packages. He said, I'm sorry. He goes, we just had more packages and I couldn't get away. And I'm like, and anyhow, when he picked me up, then I told him, I said, well, that was God, because my flight was delayed that much. And he knew exactly what time you're going to get done free up there and that you got down here. God did not want me waiting for him for 30 minutes or more because he was still working. God just worked it all out. And I've been just trying to help Johnny see. It's like God is just sovereign over every moment of our lives. And he's believing for and praying about a permanent job with UPS. So, Lord, I just lift up Johnny to you, and I thank you for him, and thank you for his kindness, and he really desires to pray about things to you, Lord, and he's learning, he's growing, and he loves you, Lord, and I just pray that you would show him great favor there at UPS with the people he's been working with, and that when he has the ability to contact HR, whoever does the hiring there, Lord, and he has to report to, and they get back just a really good report on Johnny, and that you would bless him with a full-time job there doing something, and that he'd be content with whatever pay contract he gets to start out, knowing this is a beginning step, and just keep him running after you, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that everything works out just like you want it to, Lord. Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? You know, last night I had a terrible, terrible headache. And my muscles up here were all getting sore, like I was coming down with something. And we prayed the prayer of faith, David, and somebody else, I don't remember who it was. Was it in the morning meeting? No, it was at the fellowship. Okay, it was at the fellowship. And they prayed for me, and I felt better. And then I came home and went right to sleep and woke up a whole lot better. And then Just a little while ago, it's just about all gone. So praise God for that. I think it's just an attack of the enemy. Well, I know it is, because that's the enemy come against me. I don't get sick. I just don't get sick. And it's gone. Praise God. I'm healed. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. All right. Anybody else? All right. What about a testimony or a praise report or a song? Anybody got something they'd like to share? What has the Lord shown you this week? Now, if you say nothing, you got to repent. Go ahead, George.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was just thinking, since the last time we got together, if anybody wanted to mention how many times the teachings of the cross that we get through this ministry, the crucified life, how many times has that saved your, you know, different relationships, whether it was work or family, or saved your life, or saved yourself from a total, you know, really imploding because of lack of control? And you know, we delve into a lot of scriptures that a lot of places, a lot of churches just never go down those roads. And I just wanted to say I'm thankful for the ministry, for David, for everybody that ministers the word to each other in this group, and the you know, that we don't shy away from those death to self type scriptures. And you know, it is life-giving to give up your life. And I just want to encourage everybody in that to realize what a value these words of life that we've shared, how they actually do provide life for us. And again, I've just been thinking about that, and I feel like everybody's probably got a testimony in that vein. So that's all I got to say.
Man, well, I'll tell you what, when I heard your prayer, I knew you'd been looking. I knew you had gotten that stuff in your heart because of the way you prayed about your situation at work. So that's something that we have to do. Lord puts these things in front of us to die to self, to humble us, keep us in that vein of humility. Yeah, has anybody got something they'd, you know, matter of fact, I've been in How Shall We Die here lately a little bit. It's kind of reviewing, doing some stuff there. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say about dying to self? In the cross, how many times has David had a teaching on the cross? Carrying the cross. Everybody's trying to. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
This is something kind of small, but it's patience. You know, you have to die to self to have patience, you know, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on the way down to the locals down there in UBM, I stopped at Gabe and Fabiana's. Their baby was born in end of October, and I stopped to see them and the baby. And I was there for a good half hour. And Gabe's mom, you know, they're staying with Gabe's parents right now. And Gabe's, you know, his parents are really nice, and his mom hadn't seen the baby much lately or whatever, but she was holding him and he was just sleeping. And I'd say for a good half hour, if not more, you know, she was holding the baby, and Gabe finally kind of moseyed. And you know, I'm like dying, I want to hold the baby, but I just kept my mouth shut. You know, I just thought at times about asking, you know, can I hold him? And I felt like the Lord saying, you know, just wait, you know, just be patient. And finally Gabe kind of moseyed over and said, you know, he said something like, you know, let me see him a minute or whatever. And he picked him up and held him for, you know, just a brief period, and then kind of slowly handed him to me, you know. And so when he was there on Saturday at the pot blessing, I said, thanks, Gabe. I said, you knew I was dying to hold him. He said, yeah. I said, that was just, it was so slick, you know, but it was just, so it was, that's dying to self, just being patient, you know. And so anyway, he's such a cutie. Kiss him up. Does anybody want to see a picture? I can show you all a picture of a baby. I can show you a picture of me holding me. Jealous see?
Go ahead, Missy. You're gonna bust if we don't let you, so go ahead. He's a cutie.
Isn't he sweet? And there's Gabe Anna and him.
Oh my, he looked just like Gabe.
I know.
Golly. Golly. Poor kid.
Oh, there's Julie and I.
Oh, Julie.
Yep. At Jeff and Sandy's. So anyway, yeah. This one's my favorite.
Well, I can't imagine why.
Well, I think he looks the cutest there, too. He does. Yeah,
he does. He does.
Even though he's sleeping, but anyway, so much for that.
Yeah. He looked like he's at home in Aunt Missy's arms.
Gabe's funny. He cracks me up. He's like my how do I want to say this? My big little brother. For anybody who doesn't know Gabe, he has this really deep voice, and it's so funny when we're in a meeting and he laughs, everybody gets quiet. Or if Gabe says something, everybody gets quiet because he has this deep voice. It's just funny. His voice just calls everybody to stand to attention.
His voice carries pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share about the cross? Come on now. Everybody drawing blanks. Yeah, Julie.
Few years back, I guess it was probably, I don't know, 2013. There was, I had a real, I can't really share a whole lot about the trial, except it was very, very crucifying. And for several weeks before that, I just sensed the Lord was having me focus on reading and meditating and rereading Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And just kept rereading all that. And I was being, when things started happening in my trial, I can't tell you how many verses out of those books came just to like, right to the front of my mind about just being quiet and turning the other cheek and going the extra, another mile. What is that? You know, if somebody asked you to go a mile with them, go with them 2 miles or however that's worded. And just being, long suffering and just enduring stuff that I wasn't agreeing with and not opening up my mouth and letting stuff was just burning up because I just was such my flesh was really just like, I'm not agreeing with what all this stuff was and being, trying to be really wise in how I spoke. And this one person kind of got into the subject of things that I had studied and heard, but I knew this person didn't understand a lot of things. And I was trying to speak gently to her and share with her what the Bible said. And there were times where I felt like I was walking on eggshells because it's like, I was so, this person got easily offended and was critical and judgmental. And I could just sense a real tension and being around her when I was trying to, It's like anytime you try to bring a correction, doesn't matter how kind you are or how soft spoken you are, if they're not going to receive it, they're not going to receive it because the Lord was just showing me this person had some idols and was just very judgmental and critical and one of those people that doesn't want to take correction. But well, there was some things got really, really heated, my flesh, I was in a lot of heat. Trying not to give in to what I wanted to, I know you probably have all been there when you want to just speak what and defiantly or whatever, but the Lord just allowed me a lot of grace to go through that. And when it got really, really hard, you know, I just felt the presence of the Lord all over me. And he'll bring you through whatever it is to what you're hearing from the Lord, because God's word, he will bring it right back to your mind. You just got to, it's best just not to say anything, you know, when something like that's going on, then God will give you the words to speak. And I didn't really share a whole lot, except that it was just a lot of just being obedient to what you know God's saying. And he'll lead you in all through all that. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, because, you know, you're faithful to bring back every word to our remembrance when we need it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let it burn and stay in the fire and be obedient to what you know, what God's asked of you and what you know in your heart. He'll bring you through it. It might be painful, but he'll get the glory. Hopefully, you know, people will repent or take the correction, you know, when it's brought to them. No, that's all I wanted to share.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, George.
I did go to Sunday school with these old folks this past weekend, and we were talking about peace and the peace of the blood of the cross, basically, that provides peace for us. And I was thinking about the shape of the cross and how that largest beam is straight up and down, and that if we have our relationship up and down with God, that all these relationships side to side work out, and the emphasis is on that that vertical relationship. I've had that before, but just thinking about the cross made me reinforce that image, I guess, is to keep myself in line with God and his purposes and his will, and fear him and not fear men, and he'll work out these other relationships down here. If I've got my sights on him, he'll keep me in perfect peace.
Thank you, Lord.
This is my last one. I wanted to give a praise report on Joseph Manning, my cousin down in Georgia. About a year ago on New Year's, he fell out of a barn or was pushed or something and landed on his head. And they wanted to pull the plug on him so bad. And he had he was toast. But now he's eating, talking, working out. I mean, he's still in the road to recovery, but he's communicating, loving on his family, able to sing happy birthday to his aunt, and just loves on his family, and is just intelligent and, you know, really doing remarkable compared to what the doctors gave him to begin with. And boy, is his mother ever fired up. She'll never forget how those doctors were giving her no hope and telling her that she was delusional, that he was blinking his eyes at her and all these things. And she is one fired up little lady down there, ready to show them all when he walks in there and tells them, "Remember me." So all glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for healing Amen. Joseph. Thank you for your sacrifice that makes a way where there seems to be no way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your healing power upon that man. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Sue.
What Julie was talking about reminded me of what I've been, what I read recently, and I'd like to read it if that's okay.
Sure.
It's 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. I'll read 20 to 26. Now, in a large house, there are not only good gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And, you know, I was pondering on that, those verses recently when I was reading this, and I thought, wow, you know, how many times do we don't even know when we're held captive by the enemy, and we want to receive from the Lord, but, you know, maybe we don't understand the word or something or what somebody's saying, you know. So, you know, that's why we pray so much, you know, to make sure that we're not held captive. But there are so many people out there that are held captive, that are our brothers and sisters, that they don't know the truth. They don't know what it's all about. And that's what, you know, that's what made me, not just that, but, you know, how we are to reach these ones with a meek and gentle spirit, so they can at least have a heart to want to know. Thank you for this word, Lord. Help us to be those vessels of honor for you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dave. All right, we're talking about the cross tonight. All right, anybody else on what the cross has meant to you? Well, I can tell you what it meant to me, the cross. Many years ago, there was a lot of things going on in my life. I was 50 years old and had a man that was a little bit younger than me, one-armed guy, kept bugging me about going over to his church. And I had to, you know, he just, every week he'd do the same thing, every day, every night. Why don't you just come over for a while? Da, 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 da. And just to shut him up, I said, okay, I'll come over there. And said, I went over, and the Lord did something. You know, he did something inside of me after I heard the, I wasn't hearing nothing, but, you know, I was just looking for Jesus. And I just walked up there when he gave the altar call. I just walked up there, got saved, asked the Lord to come do with me what I couldn't do for me. And he did. I got baptized in that church. And I tell you what, it's been a roller coaster trip all the way, but it's been a good trip. It's been an awesome experience for me. I never knew that God you could talk to God. You could personally have a relationship, because the church don't teach that. They don't teach that you can get rid of your sinful life, which draws you closer to God, which in turn allows you to hear the Lord clear. The more you get rid of self and you die to the cross, you die to self, the clearer you can hear God. And I never thought that a man could sit down and, or a woman, I'm just saying it in general speaking, that you could sit down and have a conversation with God until I hooked up with the truth of the gospel back in 2005 and found out. Well, yeah. And so that's really what the cross is meant to me. It's meant the old Michael Byers. And the new Michael comes, the new Jesus comes through. And I look, it hadn't been what that Baptist preacher told me. He told me right off the get-go, when you come to Jesus, everything's going to be tiptoeing through the tulips, you know. And boy, was he ever wrong. I found out right away. As soon as I gave my life to Christ, all hell broke loose in my life. And that's the way it's been. But I learned that if I kept my eyes focused on the teachings of Jesus, and I hooked up with some faith people real early, so I knew what faith was. And so I just believed God, you know, and quit believing in man. I'm not saying that I was perfect in any sense of the in any way. But there's one thing that I always did. If I was partying, I put my whole heart into partying. And if I was going after Jesus, I put my whole heart into going after Jesus. And that was just my nature. And so that's what I did. It cost me a lot as far as the world goes. You know, but as far as my spiritual life is, it's given me peace in my heart. It's given me a rest in my heart. Look, I've had corrections from the Lord. Some of you already know that. And it's a process that God puts us through to bring us closer to Him. And that's what the cross has done for me. It's brought me into a place of where I just rest, you know. Got peace in my heart. I don't get anxious when things go awry back home, because I know I prayed the prayer of faith. And when I pray the prayer of faith, I know God's going to answer. So that's what God's done for me. He's put a peace in my heart. Okay. Anybody else? That was 22 years ago. Anybody here? Did y'all freeze up? Oh, my goodness. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Well, all of you froze up there for a minute. How come y'all did that? Was it me, Joe? Okay.
I had an internet connect. I had an internet connection thing, and I got kind of knocked off and came right back on. So
yeah.
Well, it's not going to do that again in Jesus' name.
No, it's not. Praise God.
Yeah, actually, you cut out, Michael, and I didn't even hear that last piece that you said. When you looked up the ceiling, you just froze. And you said something, I guess, but I don't know.
Well, that was the most important part, and I don't remember what it was. I'm just kidding you, Missy. No, I was just, did you hear the part about it was 22 years ago? Yeah, well, that's when it was, 1997. Mm. That's when I got brought into the Baptist church. Now, that didn't last long. That didn't last long at all. I found out they didn't believe the Word of God real quick. But anyway, that's...
Didn't you have any kind of a beginning in the church at all when you were young?
Well, yeah, we were brought up in the First Christian Church as Disciples of Christ, and it's I don't know if you can even call it a church, Dave. It's more of a social gathering, you know. They'd preach, they'd say a scripture, and then he'd talk funny stories, you know. That's about it. And we had Sunday school, but it was run by a bunch of Jezebel. I'm just telling you the truth now. But look, it was most of my family went there, and we had a bunch of Jezebels in the family. So anyway.
Well, it seems to me I've had church on and off all my life, but it's been, you know, denominational stuff.
Well, you know, Dave, one thing that I remember, the pastor at the time, Reverend Ray Bebout, little short, fat guy, and he was a nice, kindly old man, and he always had something good to say about it, somebody, you know. He was a good man, but, you know, looking back on it now, he didn't know much of the word, but they had a guy come in there one time. He was, they got this new Bill Hammond. They got Bill Hammond in there as a preacher, and he had a brother that was a children's minister. And boy, he was on fire for God. And I knew then that there was something more to it than what I'd been taught, you know, in that church, because he was on fire for God, and he got everybody, as far as the kids go, fired up for Jesus. You know, he'd tell some stories about his experiences, and I remember that, and I was probably 13, 14 years old at the time. And throughout my